3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Here it is. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because starting today, it's the daily. We are on every day, every weekday. The Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast, Gary Hill with you. Boy, am I excited. Opening day, it's in sight, finally. So close. We have a lot to get to this week to get you ready for opening day. But yeah, same deal as last year. Every weekday, that's when we'll be on just about. You have to allow me a day now and again. Mostly off days, that sort of thing. But for the most part, we're daily starting today, which is awesome. I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about the podcast being bigger and better than ever, and I'm glad you're all around and all along for the ride once again. Deal is the same. You can reach me anytime, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. I welcome your questions. I love your questions. I got to most of them last year. There's a few that I still haven't gotten to that are good, and I'm researching a couple still. But those will pop up. But, yeah, send them anytime. GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. Same as last year. This is incredibly interactive. You can reach me anytime. Questions, anything. GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. I respond to nearly all emails. I think this year I'll try and get to them all. That's my goal. I will get to every single one in a response. But, yeah, hit me up anytime. Questions, comments, suggestions. Whatever, I'm always there, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. But yeah, I'm excited. We're rolling now. The new open, we don't quite have it done yet, but that'll be on its way before opening day. And speaking of opening day, so we're going to do a lot of things to get you ready for opening day. And today, I think the best way to start, because it feels like kind of this is the beginning. This is 2015. It is started on the podcast. And we're going to start with Felix Hernandez. This is going to be a Felix dedicated podcast. Tomorrow, we're going to start looking at the division rivals. We're going to take a look at the Oakland A's tomorrow. Also, take a look more at the roster. A lot of news over the weekend. We'll take a look at how the roster is shaping up. That's probably going to happen the next couple days as well. But this one is going to be a look and really a concentration on Felix Hernandez. We're going to have a conversation between Shannon Dreher and Felix coming up, which is sensational. I'm going to play what I put together last year. It's kind of the Felix montage. And for all of you know that I know a lot of you have been here for a long time, some of you since the beginning. You know, I love a good montage, probably more than most. But the Felix one I put together about last season, many of you have heard it because I played it last year. Some of you haven't, though, so this may be your first time, but I think it'll get you ready for Felix and what he has in store for the American League and all of baseball coming up this season. So that's going to come up at the end of the podcast. And coming up first, a conversation with Neil Weinberg. He's a writer at Beyond the Box Score, and they're rolling out a pretty cool feature. And they're just listing the top players in baseball for 2015. So, you know, not taking contracts into account, not taking future projections into account, just looking at this baseball season. Who are the best players in baseball right now? And I think it's a pretty cool way to look at it, especially, you know, with the season right here. I mean, we're in 2015. And it's stunning. Well, I don't want to give anything away. So I have some comments on it, but I won't get to those until after the interview. So that's where we're going to start. Glad to have you with us. Again, you can reach me on Twitter, too, at Gary Hill Jr. You can tweet me anytime. Questions, you can email me, you can tweet me, whatever. I'll respond to both. So glad to have you with us. Glad you're here. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm pretty pumped. Here we go. Here's Neil Weinberg. Well, we have a special guest with us now. It's Neil Weinberg. You can find his writing at beyondtheboxscore.com. Great stuff there that we're going to talk about in just a minute. You can also see him on Twitter, at NeilWeinberg44. Neil, thanks a lot for the time. We certainly appreciate it. And you at Beyond the Box Score,
You have something very interesting going on that caught my eye that I've been following closely, and it's the best players for 2015, projecting out who's going to be the best players. Before we dive into kind of a who's who, what's the criteria?
Well, so basically what we were trying to do is something a little bit different for sort of the season preview thing. A lot of sites do team by team, position by position. You know, team sites do their own team in a lot of different ways. We wanted to know what we could bring to the conversation that would be a little bit different this year. And so what we decided to do was basically to think about the MVP award or the best player award starting at the beginning of the season. Who do we think is going to be the best player for the upcoming season? And we, you know, threw out all of the stuff, nothing about contract value, nothing about the future, just this next 162 games, who's going to be the best player? It's not something that people generally, you know, write about a lot. And so we sort of decided that was going to be the way we were going to start the 2015 season.
No, it's a unique approach, and I love it, too, when you just take one season, because really, for baseball fans, that's what it's about right now. The season's about to start.
Yep.
It's about this one season. So what also caught my eye is who fit in the top five, and I'm sure Mariner fans are going to love to hear this name. Who do you have in the top five that Mariner fans will enjoy?
Yes. Yeah, so Felix Hernandez was number five for us, and it was a pretty decisive, you know, he beat out Buster Posey, who was sixth, and, you know, a bunch of other great players also, you know, pretty much everybody but the top four guys in the league. And it was pretty, you know, people generally agreed. I think, you know, most of our writers, you know, put him near the top of their list. You know, he's just been so consistent and so good for so many years. And, you know, when you think about, look at it, he's still pretty young, too. We're talking about a guy who's, you know, not going to be 29 until, you know, right after opening day. You know, just a tremendous pitcher. He got better last year. You could argue the last year was maybe one of his best seasons, if not his best season. Mm. So, you know, he's definitely a guy that we were watching, and, you know, it was a pretty strong consensus that he was, you know, top five or six players in the game.
You wrote the Felix piece, obviously, and it was well-researched, in-depth. Is there anything that you ran across that even surprised you about how good he has been?
Yeah, well, I think it's the durability, you know, from such a young age. I think that's the thing that jumps out to me is, you know, he had that sort of, you know, 12 or so starts in 2005, you know, as a teenager. And then it's been 190 innings or more every season since, mostly 230-plus. The durability and the consistency, you know, it kind of shocks you a little bit. You know, I'm a Tigers fan. I cover the Tigers. And so, you know, Verlander and Felix kind of came up at the same time. Felix was a little younger. But, you know, you watch them, and, you know, they had sort of similar career trajectories. Verlander peaked a little higher, and then Felix has kept on going while Verlander has struggled. You know, being able to do what Felix has done for, you know, we're talking about closing in on 10 seasons. It's kind of amazing that, you know, in an era of so many pitcher injuries and so many durability problems, that he has been this good for this long.
In the debate, when you came up with the list, the writers there, how did you, going back and forth between position players and starting pitchers?
You know, so it's kind of a tough thing. We, you know, so we let everybody come up with their own list, and then we just sort of aggregated them together. For me personally, I think for a lot of people, you know, pitchers are, you know, starting pitchers, elite starting pitchers can be just as valuable as an elite position player, you know, maybe outside of someone like Mike Trout. But, you know, the guys who topped our list, you know, I'm not giving too much away to say Koshaw is in the top three, you know, we're still rolling it out. You know, Felix is right up there. You know, but then it was, you know, there were the two guys were right on top, and the rest of the pitchers were a little bit back. You know, you have to be at the top, you have to be both excellent, which a lot of guys are year to year, but then so consistent too, and that's how Koshaw and Felix ended up near the top. You know, I think everybody can, you know, on our writing staff agree that, you know, Chris Sale, Corey Kluber, those guys were top four, five, six players last year. They were just as good as some of the best position players. But can you count on that to keep happening? You know, position players are a little bit more consistent usually. And so if you could guarantee a normal Felix season, he's right up there, no question, with the best position players. The problem with pitchers is, you know, every other year, you know, there's an injury that keeps you out, you know, for a lot of innings, unless you're, you know, one of the best couple of guys.
It's a great point. As you mentioned, you're still rolling it out, beyondtheboxscore.com. I recommend checking it out. Is there anyone towards the top that surprised you that made the list?
You know, the top of the list didn't surprise me too much. I think what I was really surprised by, you know, in doing this list, you know, we ranked it out. I think we had 45 guys on the list who got at least some consideration across the board. I was surprised by how deep to the list really was. You know, I think we're in a position where there are a lot of really good players in the game today. You know, the guys at the top, Trout, McCutchen, Kershaw, Stanton, Felix, Posey, those guys, they're the best players in the game. But then you think and say, hey, wow, you know, a guy like Miguel Cabrera and Jose Bautista were 8 and 9. Tulowitzki was 11. You know, there's some extraordinary depth. Robinson Cano was 16th on the list, and this is a guy who's been, you know, a 4, 5, 6 win player for forever. You know, Kyle Seager, who, you know, your fans will definitely pay attention to. You know, he was in the 30s on this list, but he's a great player. You know, I think the depth really stood out to me more than maybe how it showed up at the top.
Well, that's impressive in itself, though. The Mariners, you take that in consideration, 3 players in the top 45. That says something about where this organization is right now as opposed to where they've been the past few years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you mentioned a moment ago you cover the Tigers, and I think they are one of the more interesting teams coming into this season. They have had a stranglehold on the Central the last few years, but you look at Cleveland, an interesting team coming in, Kansas City, of course, the White Sox have gotten better. Are they still going to have a hold of the AL Central this year?
You know, I'm not so sure. I'm kind of right hovering on the edge. I think it's definitely the Indians are their biggest threat. You know, I'm less of a believer in the Royals than I think some people are. And the White Sox definitely got better. I was really impressed by their offseason. But there's some big holes on that team. The Indians are really good. And I think the Indians have a very good pitching staff. And you know, for one thing, it's a very cost-effective pitching staff, which is going to allow them to kind of, you know, dole out some money to other places. You know, guys like Yan Gomes, Carlos Santana, Jason Kipnis, you know, you're not looking at guys who are necessarily superstar players, but they're so balanced and consistent in so many different positions. There aren't a lot of big holes on this team. Maybe you could say the DH position is a place where they're going to have some trouble, but otherwise the Indians are a really good team. They've got good starting pitching depth. It's a club that I think the Tigers should be very afraid of. You know, I don't know. I'm on my Tigers site, New English D. I'm sort of rolling out the division preview right now, and I've got. You know, I've done the Twins and the White Sox, and I'm going to, you know, put the Royals third. Now, I don't know that I've made up my mind about what the Indians and the Tigers are going to look like record-wise at the end of the season. I also write over at Fangraphs. We're doing our season sort of picks right now behind the scenes, and I haven't come to terms with, you know, what team am I going to pick to win the Central. But I think it's going to be a very close race between these two teams.
I don't think American League hitters are sad to see Max Scherzer go to the National League. How much is that loss going to hurt the Tigers, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big loss. You know, you have David Price now for a full season, so you're going to have, you know, a really strong, you know, top of your rotation just like you have in years past. But, you know, losing Max Scherzer and losing a guy like Rick Porcello also, and, you know, Drew Smyler for that matter, who they traded away in the middle part of last season to get David Price, the lack of the amazing rotation depth that they've had the last 3 or 4 years, it's going to hurt them. And, you know, losing a guy like Scherzer, it's going to be very noticeable. You know, guys like, you know, a guy like Shane Green could, you know, step up. You know, he's a guy to watch, a guy I kind of liked at the end of last year before they traded for him. Alfredo Simon, not nearly the same caliber pitcher that they had before. So it's going to be a different Tigers team for sure going forward.
You know, it's funny. These Tiger teams have been so good, and at times seemingly the only weakness has really been the bullpen. Is that still going to be a problem for the Tigers this year? Has anything changed from the last couple of years to this year in terms of the pen?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's still going to be a problem. The Tigers have, you know, kind of a couple of flaws when it comes to building bullpens, generally speaking. One is they're really infatuated with the idea of the proven closer, which is, you know, a thing I don't think it'll surprise people to hear that I'm not a fan of that idea. And they're really for now at least, really steadfast in their support of Joe Nathan as the closer, even though not only did he have such a bad year last year, he hasn't looked good in the spring, and we're talking about a guy who's, you know, 40, 41 years old. It's not like this is a guy you would predict to have a bounce back. If he's going to get 60 innings, whether that's the ninth inning or the eighth inning or whatever, that's going to be a problem. And they've got some guys who, you know, have the potential to be very good. Joaquin Soria struggled after the trade last year, but there was some injury stuff going on. He's a very good reliever if he's out on the field. You know, Bruce Rondon is a young pitcher who throws really hard, who could be good if the right things happen. Al Albuquerque has been good at times, definitely shown some ability. But the problem with the Tigers is that they don't attack the problem with a lot of depth and a lot of steady arms. So every team is going to go through 10 or 12 relievers who are going to get a good amount of innings, not just the six or seven guys you start with. And after that, the Tigers, it's just guys who are, barely registered as, relief pitching prospects, and they don't go out and spend a little bit more money on the bullpen. And that's kind of a frustrating thing. This is an organization that will spend tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars on superstar players, but they don't really backfill the roster with a lot of depth, and that shows up a lot in the bullpen. You could have signed, it for my money, five really good relievers, not Andrew Miller or David Robertson, but guys like Zach Duke and Pat Neshek and Luke Gregerson, that kind of class. I think I identified five guys. Neil Costa is the other one, and then one other guy who will come to me later. But so you could have signed them all collectively for like $16 or $17 million and had gotten five new relievers. You didn't even need all of those guys, just some of them. But Tigers will spend, $30 million a year on Miguel Cabrera and $17 on Victor Martinez and $20 on David Price. And those are good, great players. But, the bang for the buck they could have gotten by signing some of these depth pieces would have been really valuable. And I think we're going to see it, bite them throughout the season.
Finally, coming into this season, look at the American League as a whole. Who do you think the favorites are in the AL as we're about to kick
off? It's an interesting question. I think it's good. I mean, there are definitely some teams that are, better than others. I think the Angels are a very good team. I'm not totally sold on their pitching, but they have a very good offense. It's a very good offensive club. I think the Indians are a good team. The Red Sox, I would have liked to see them get one more pitcher, but I think they're right up there. I think the Mariners are in the discussion. The Tigers are in the discussion. But the Blue Jays and the Rays and the A's, like the Yankees, these are not teams that are out of it by any stretch. The Orioles, too. There's only a couple of teams in the AL that I'm like couldn't see really contending this year. It's going to be a pretty interesting year. There's not a runaway favorite in the National League. If it's anybody but the Nationals and the Dodgers at the end, I'd be very surprised. Yeah. The Cardinals are really good, but I think they're a step behind. The AL, it's a big cluster, and I could see a lot of different teams, kind of emerging, down the stretch. Who gets healthy at the right time is probably going to be a big factor.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Neil Weinberg 44 on Twitter, at Neil Weinberg 44. Beyond the Box Score, Fangraphs, you can see him everywhere. Neil, thanks a lot for the time. Hopefully you let us check in with you again down the road. This has been fun.
Definitely. Thanks.
So there it is, Neil Weinberg from Beyond the Box Score. I thought it was very relevant, too, to get into the Detroit Tigers because we're going to talk about the division a lot coming up in the next few days. But frankly, with the expectation level where the Mariners are at, it's relevant to look at every other American League team that's going to be good. I think the Tigers are one of those teams. I mean, that's where we're at with expectation level. It's relevant to talk about how good the Tigers are going to be or if the Indians are going to win that division or whatever. I mean, that's where we're at in terms of conversation. Now, what I think is amazing, Felix Hernandez, fifth best player according to Beyond the Box Score, which I think is a tremendous honor. When you think about what it takes for a starting pitcher to be included in best players, because I think in this sort of pitchers-hitters comparison, it's really difficult for a pitcher to crack a top five, even top ten, because think about all the superstar position player talent there is. I mean, the names at the very top. Trout, McCutchen, Goldschmidt, guys like that. The best of the best. And here's Felix right among the leaders. Ahead of Posey. Ahead of Goldschmidt. I mean, ahead of guys like that. Which is really saying something. And, we're in an age where there's two pitchers in the top five with Kershaw and Felix Hernandez. But you have the best in the National League in Kershaw. And you have the best in the American League and best right-handed pitcher in the game in Felix Hernandez. He's historic. He really is. What he is doing is incredible. What he has done in a Mariners uniform and still at the age he is, it's remarkable. And the team that's surrounding him right now should have Mariner fans salivating. So many numbers I'll be keeping a close eye with Felix Hernandez this season, and none more than the 200 inning, 200 strikeout. If he does that again, 200-plus innings, 200-plus strikeouts, it would be the seventh straight season he's done that. It's only three pitchers that have equaled or surpassed that total, which is amazing. In the history of baseball, in the history. Three. That's what we're talking about with Felix Hernandez. I mean, Tom Seaver's got the longest streak, but Felix Hernandez has a chance to equal Roger Clemens and Walter Johnson this season if he does it. I mean, one of the reasons I'm so excited about the potential of the Mariners this year, I mean, obviously it's a fun ride when a team is good and playing well, but the chance to see Felix Hernandez pitching in big games this year, and it feels like there's going to be some big games to be pitched in, and watching the King twirl in those affairs, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Felix Hernandez this year and what he can do. And I've said this for a number of years now. And, you know, Mariners fans have been pretty fortunate to see Randy Johnson up close and personal while he was developing into one of the best left-handed pitchers this game has ever seen. And what he was able to do on a night-in, night-out basis. And how when he would take the mound at the Kingdome, it was an event. It was go and see. You didn't want to miss Randy Johnson on the hill because you never know what you were going to see. 14 Ks became ho-hum. I mean, that's what he would do at the Kingdome. A hitter's paradise, but not when Randy Johnson was on the hill. And Felix is in that class. He is go-to baseball, King's Court, everything else, the atmosphere. It's sensational, and it's always a show when he's on the mound. He is not to be missed when he's pitching this year at Safeco Field. 2.14 ERA last year. 2.14. The best in his career. 236 innings. 248 strikeouts. The best in his career. A 0.915 whip. A whip under one. Filthy, dominant, ridiculous. And he's heading the rotation once again. Good stuff. Here is Felix Hernandez, the King, with Shannon Dreher.
Felix, we've watched you for the last couple of weeks, and to me, you look like it's a normal spring training, but I think you look around this clubhouse, and it's got to be different. Does it feel different for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of different here. I mean, we came here. I mean, Jack, I got to give it front office credit, and Jack, to last year bring Cano, and now this year bring Nelly. And the chemistry in the clubhouse is unbelievable. I mean, we're hungry, we want to win, and that's what we're here for.
How does that happen? I mean, I look around that clubhouse, and there are guys, Dustin Ackley was telling me, you know, a few years ago, I was a young one, Kyle was a young one, you know, me, Kyle, and Felix were the only ones who were here then, and now we look at it, and we're kind of coming together, we're growing up, and it's different.
Yeah, we're growing up together. I mean, and like I said, the chemistry is unbelievable, and now Kyle and Ackley, they've been in the league a lot longer than last year. And they look pretty good. So, I mean, this thing is pretty serious.
Pretty serious. That's an interesting way to put it because I don't think anybody wants to put any pressure on themselves right now. But it's sometimes not bad to have expectations.
No, not really. We don't think about expectations. We're just going to go out there and just play the game, do the thing that we need to do to win games. And like I said, this thing is pretty good.
You look around and you know what they are on paper, and you're on vacation and they signed Nelly and you're happy about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all so happy. I mean, I'm glad he's on our side. I don't have to face it anymore.
What do you remember about, when did you find out that he had signed?
I was in, I think I was in Istanbul, and I texted Cano, is that for real? He told me, yeah, I think it's going to happen. And I was so happy because that's the piece that we need.
Why?
Because he's going to protect Cano.
All right.
And he's a right-handed power hitter.
Okay. Yeah, and that gives you a couple more runs sometimes, too, which must be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Runs are good.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the Istanbul. Not many guys go that far in the off season. The last couple of years, you've taken your family on some pretty interesting trips.
Yeah, yeah. We just trying to have fun, I pick to see, because my wife tells me, you pick whatever you want. If you want to go, you tell me. And then we pick Turkey and Czech Republic and Austria.
Those are some interesting choices. Why did you pick those places?
I don't know. I'm just going to go out there and see some different stuff, some different culture. And it was fun. It was fun.
And what did you see there? What was different?
People was different. The culture was different. Food was different. And I mean, we see a lot of stuff. We see a lot of castles. We see a lot of shorts. And it was pretty good.
The mountains look pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that was awesome, too. That was awesome. That was a place called Cappadocia. And it was... It was unbelievable. We it was in a hotel in the Mount, and it was unbelievable.
That's a great thing. What do your kids think? I mean, they're all of a sudden in different countries. They're in Austria. They're in Czech. They're in Italy last year.
Well, they don't like to walk a lot, and then you know, we got a tour. We had a tour, and then we just walked for like 20 minutes, and he said, "I want to go back to the hotel." I said, "Come on, man! It was 20 minutes." And then I said, "I'm starting. Just keep walking. See stuff that you don't see before, and they were happy too. They were happy."
Have you ever seen any of the National Lampoon, the Chevy Chase vacation movies?
No, never seen them before.
Okay, you need to see some of those, just family vacations and just kind of the comedy that can erupt.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do this year after the World Series.
After the World Series, so you're planning a November-December trip.
Yes, I mean, that's the main goal.
What'd you do right when the season ended?
What I did?
Mm-hmm. Next day, you wake up. What's that like?
I was just thinking we felt close. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. I was thinking about that. We're going to be in the playoffs. I knew we were going to be here. I want to be there. And now I'm really happy because we got the pieces together to be there.
I think you've also got the manager. And I've really enjoyed watching how your relationship with him has developed. And it seems like it developed quickly. I mean, it looked like you put your trust in him very, very early.
Yes. I mean, he's a great guy. He's a great manager. He knows what he's doing. And he's just keeping confident to go out there and do your job.
Mm-hmm. And he's a former hitter, he's a position player, but there was some catcher, and he works a lot. He comes out to the mound. He doesn't always send Rick out there. He's the guy who comes out.
Yeah, sometimes I go out there and tell you stuff what you need to do, and he knows about baseball a lot.
Mm-hmm. I also hear he can be funny sometimes.
He's really funny. He's really funny.
How so?
He's awesome. He's awesome, man. He's awesome.
Does he say funny things? Does he make funny faces?
He says funny things. He can dance, too.
Okay, this is breaking news right here. What kind of dancing?
No, you cannot say that. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not like that.
You gave something up there, Felix.
He's pretty good. I'm telling you. He's good. He's a great guy.
All right. That's good to know. We didn't know about the dancing. When you look at what you've done through the years, how do you kind of put in perspective where you are right now?
Where I am right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the place that I need to be. I mean, what I've done the last couple of years, about 10 years career, I mean, I've done a lot of things. But, the main goal is just to be the playoff and to be with the Seattle Mariners.
And what can you do to get them there?
Just win games and do my job, trying to help the team to win. Pitch good, exactly.
And pitching good for you, we saw early on it was about velocity, and then you learned the changeup, and you learned hitters, and you learned to think before the hitters. What's the newest thing for you?
No, I don't think I have any new thing. I'm just doing my thing, trying to raise swings, trying to make good pitches, trying to get people out.
How do you learn about reading swings?
I don't know. It's something that I learned. Something that somebody give it to me. You got that.
So somebody told you this, or it's just something that you?
It's me that I saw. I mean, what hitters gonna look for? I mean, it's the reaction that they do. So I'm like, they not looking for this pitch, and I'm gonna throw this pitch. I'm like way ahead of him, the hitters.
What are you looking forward to on opening day?
Well, first of all, say it's gonna rock. It's gonna be awesome. And second, I'm just got to throw a good game.
Got to throw a good game because you guys are serious this year.
Yes. Well, we're funny. We're serious. I mean, we're having fun. But we're here to win.
And you can't wait till they are for real, I bet.
Yes, I can wait.
All right, Felix, we can't either. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
There it is, Felix Hernandez and Shannon Dreher. I feel good about this first episode. I feel like we're off on the right foot. Of course, you know, when you start with the king, it's really hard to go wrong, right? So here's how we're going to end things. Last year, I put together kind of a season recap of Felix Hernandez with the help of some Hall of Famers, some All-Stars, some great players around baseball that I think really told the tale. I know some of you have heard it before, but hopefully you'll still enjoy it. I still get a smile every time I hear it. And for those of you, if this is your first time, enjoy. Here it is, Felix Hernandez.
He is King Felix, and he reigns supreme.
1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Oh, did he get tied up? That was dirty from Felix.
Barton with a Looney Tunes swing.
All-star Torrey Hunter.
There's not a one player in this league that likes facing Felix. He is one of the nastiest, if not the nastiest pitcher in Major League Baseball. He can get you to swing and miss with that changeup. He's scary. It's not fun. It's uncomfortable every time.
The King, holy smoke, has been outstanding, and his palace tonight is Safeco Field.
Hall of Fame pitcher Jim Palmer.
Well, the hitters don't have much of a chance. He does everything that you want to do. He throws a lot of strikes. He throws a lot of sinkers. He can strike you out if he needs to.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. A changeup at 90 miles an hour. 15 punch outs for Felix Hernandez today. He has dangled that carrot in front of the Rays all day long, and they have tried to take a bite each and every time.
Hall of Fame pitcher Dennis Eckersley.
How he walks to the mound. I mean, he is so confident, man. He has got it going on. He really does, and for good reason. I mean, that's half of it. It's showtime, man, when he's pitching.
Swing and a miss, strike three, and there it is. Strikeout number 233 on the season. A new career high for Felix Hernandez, King of the Hill.
Silver Slugger Award winner Tim Salmon.
And I was 0-2 before you could blink an eye with two fastballs that were by me. And so, I'm like, okay, I'll get my two-strike approach here. And then he snapped off a slider, and it buckled me like I'd never been buckled before. And he struck me out on three pitches, and I walked back to Butch. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Nearly 40,000 in the Kings court, bobbing up and down the pitch. Strike three called. He got him at 93 miles an hour. And count him up, 10 strikeouts for the King tonight against the A's.
Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton.
I saw a guy last night that has been outstanding, and we may not have seen the best yet, with four pitches that he can make dart and dive and go faster and go slower. He is a complete pitcher, and I think he pitches with a quiet joy.
Here's the 1-2 on its way, swing and a miss, and down he goes. Turn Flaherty into a pretzel as he swings through another nasty change. That is punch out number 10 for the King, and he is rolling. And look at him walk off the mound to a standing ovation here at Safeco Field.
Infielder Steve Tolleson.
You know, we found out firsthand, why they call him the King and why, he is as good as he is. And his changeup was pretty tough to pick up.
Swing and a miss, strike three, a changeup. A venomous changeup at 90 miles an hour.
Cy Young Award winner, R.A. Dickey.
The last 12 to 14 inches before it gets to the plate, it's literally like someone steps on the ball, and it goes straight down.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him with that changeup. And there is strikeout number 8 for the King. They're jumping up and down in that left field corner in King's Court tonight.
All-star manager and coach Larry Bowa.
I wouldn't want to play that team in a one-game playoff with King Felix over there. I don't care how good you think your team is. He can shut down any offense.
And Felix, like a cat, is batting around this ball of yarn that tonight is the Angels lineup.
All-star and broadcaster Ray Fosse.
But Felix Hernandez, when he first joined the Mariners, I remember the guys were saying, oh no, he's in the same division. We're going to see him a lot. It's going to be nice to watch him go in the Hall of Fame as a Seattle Mariner.
He can pass now Tom Seaver on the all-time list. His 14th consecutive start, going at least 7 innings and allowing 2 runs or fewer, and history might have just been made.
All-star and coach Don Baylor.
It's like maybe hitting off on Nolan Ryan or somebody like that, they get ahead of you, then all of a sudden they start mixing it up, and I don't want him to do that.
Fans on their feet waving those K-cards around. Felix with 3 strikeouts tonight. The windup and the 0-2 to Fold. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Make it 4 strikeouts for the King.
ESPN's Jason Stark.
There are really 2 pitchers who are on a Hall of Fame track. One is Clayton Kershaw. The other is Felix. And if you ask me who is closer, it's got to be Felix, doesn't it? He's 28 years old, already won a Cy Young. Seems like he's clearly going to win a second Cy Young. I mean, Felix is clearly as good as it gets in this sport.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night as the King racks up his 9th strikeout tonight.
His changeup looks like, you ever seen the cartoon Bugs Bunny when he was on the mound and he throws it and the guys are like, 1-2-3, you're out. 1-2-3, you're out. That's what it looks like.
1-2-3, strike, you're out. 1-2-3, strike, you're out. 1-2-3, strike, you're out.
I'm one of the few who can count myself very lucky to get to play with a player who I will look back when I'm an old man and tell other people that I had a chance to play with him, much like other people do with probably guys like Nolan Ryan and those guys. I mean, this guy is that kind of player.
All hail the King.
Here's the ovation for the King.